Y'all had a good week? Everybody so far? My week would have been better with a game of golf on Friday. But the weather, we needed this rain, so I'm not going to complain too badly about that. So, yeah, so you've got some guests this morning. You guys, welcome. Welcome, welcome. So I want to kind of catch up everybody to where we're at before I go into what I have here. This year, actually beginning last year, and I do this every week, just kind of catch everybody up, we talked about being more devoted to God in 2016. Like, that's a goal that we want to commit to, and every series this year has been about being more devoted to God. And we did the Devoted to God series at first, and we talked about more prayer in our lives. We talked about digging into the Bible. That's where I challenged everybody to read the entire Bible this year, and I don't know where everyone is at in that. I am a little bit behind, but I'm hoping to catch up this afternoon. It seems to be the story on Saturdays. Weekends are busy, and they're going to be busier for a few weeks to come because I'm going to be working up there with the Promise, so going to be really busy. But so then we went from being more devoted to God to looking at what does that look like in our lives, and the Apostle Paul talks about we will be producing these fruits of the Spirit. So we went through all nine of the fruits of the Spirit and talked about those, and then as we're producing these fruits and they're coming out of us, what's the, like, the next step? And we feel like that's sharing the gospel. And the gospel is more than just the story of sinners, people becoming sinners and Jesus dying for them. The gospel is the good news, and it works in every facet of our lives, in our finances, it works in our work, it works in every area of our lives. And when we're speaking to people and trying to share the gospel with them, we can point to these areas of life that there may be difficulties that the gospel works in. So we looked at that. And then the next thing that we looked at after sharing the gospel is this apologetic series. Like, what is apologetics? It's the defense of our faith. And Peter in 2 Peter 3:15 says that we need to always be prepared to give a defense for our faith or for the hope that is within us. So I feel like, and I hope that you guys have been enjoying the series on apologetics, that we need to have answers to some of the questions that we're going to be asked as we're out trying to share the gospel. Like, is the Bible true? What makes us believe that the Bible is true? And I share that it's historical and archaeological evidences that point back to this, that prophecies from thousands of years before came true, and that it keeps on coming true, and that I believe that this is the infallible Word of God. I believe that this is where we find the truth written on these pages in the Bible. So we looked at dinosaurs and the worldwide flood. Did these things really happen? And we looked at different evidences that creationists have that point to these things being literal and true. And I think that all of them are available online except for the last one, which will be up there today. I was lazy this week and didn't get that done. So that brings us up to today. But I wanted to take a pause in that series, and we'll continue that next week. But today I wanted to, like, look at our church. Every now and then I just like to reiterate, like, the vision of Cornerstone and what it is. So the question that came to me as I was working on this is, like, why are we here? Why do we gather together in this building? What's the purpose of us being here every week, right? So what is the reason that we're here? The word church comes from, and I'm about to go, you know, into Greek stuff over here like I'm super smart, but really this is just something that I've learned and gotten. So the word church comes from the Greek word ecclesia, which is defined as an assembly or the called out ones. The root meaning of church is not of a building, but it's actually the people. So we are the church, not this building that's around here with the air conditioning running and the lighting and everything. We the people are the church. And that fascinates me because if you ask someone about their church, then they're usually going to tell you the location of it. They're going to tell you what the building looks like and maybe what the worship is like there, and that the pastor isn't a very good speaker and all those kind of things. So they're going to talk about that rather than the people that are making up the church, right? So I look at what the Apostle Paul said. He said this in Romans 16:5. Should go over there. The Apostle Paul said, "Greet also the church in their house." And then it goes on to say, "Greet my beloved Epaphroditus," I think, who was the first convert to the church in Asia. So it says, "Greet also the church in their house." So it's talking about the people and that we're to greet them in the house. It's not talking about the house being the church. It's actually the people that are composing of this church. So whenever you look around in the room here, you actually see the church. You see the people, the body of believers that are gathering on Sundays to be part of this church body, this local church body, of which there's several in Glen Rose, and all these different churches, all these different people are reaching out to different people and trying to lead the lost to the knowledge of Jesus, right? So all these other churches are part of the universal Christian church as well, and that goes into our country, out of our country. All these believers compose the church. So to what end is it that we meet here each week? What's the reasoning behind our meeting? Is it because you guys want to come up here and listen to me talk for a little while? Probably not. If you are, man, I can point you guys to some much better places. Is it because of the worship music? Do we have the greatest worship music ever? While I love our worship time here, and I believe that it is great, and if your hearts are in that worship time and that we're doing exactly what we're supposed to, and we're singing these words out to Jesus, that it is great, great worship, that's probably not the reason that most of you are here. So whenever I think about like reasons that some people may get out of church sometimes, or get out of church, get out of their houses, they don't want to get out of their house each week and let their kids, you know, go into the nursery and have a little bit of a break. That's the reason that some people may go to church. It may be because it's just something that you've been taught you're supposed to do every Sunday, right? You're supposed to go to church. It's just what we do, and especially on Easter and at Christmas time. Those are the two like main times that we should go to church. But me personally, I've never wanted to be part of a church that is like a social club where we just kind of we get together on Sundays. You sing a few songs, and then you listen to a message. Maybe it's a good one, maybe not so good. Maybe it convicts you, maybe it doesn't. But just a group of people getting together on a weekly basis, and there's no purpose behind that. So I believe that we here at Cornerstone, we have a purpose that we can cling to. We have a mission. So my personal view of a church has always been as like a training ground. And bear with me for that, because I think we need to be coming to church and we need to be learning how to draw closer to Jesus, how to evangelize, how to know Him better so that we can share Him better with the lost, with the people that have no knowledge of the grace that God offers them for their sin, and that His Son came and died on the cross for their sins. We need to have answers to that. We need to be training on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, really. We need to be putting His Word into our hearts, into our minds, so that whenever we get together, we can have that purpose of training up better. That's my view of what a church should look like, is training grounds. Learning how to answer the hard questions. That's what I love about apologetics, is we can take all these different areas that people bring to us when we're trying to evangelize, and all these different perceptions that they have, and many times it's just because they've gotten misinformation. I've spoken about Horace before and some things like that that people come to you with, and we need to have answers for these things, providing a reason for the hope that's in us. So I want to know if you guys know what our mission is here at Cornerstone, and I try to tell this on a regular basis so that you guys will know that. But does anyone here know what the mission of Cornerstone is? It's not you guys' fault if you don't know. It's not. It's my fault. As the pastor of the church, I should know what the... I should be teaching you guys this all the time and being more clear about it. It does. Yes. Yep. To lead people to Christ and to be conformed in His image. That is the mission of Cornerstone. It should be like on the door up there, on the wall up here. We should have that mission. That goal is to lead people to Christ. It's not to lead people to the church and get a whole bunch of money and all this stuff. Our reasoning is to lead people to Christ and be conformed in His image. So that's our mission or our purpose here at Cornerstone. So whenever we gather here on Sundays, it should be to celebrate what God has done in our lives, what He is doing in our lives at that time, what we're seeing Him doing in the world around us. That should be what we're doing, so that we can go out and lead people to Christ. Whether they ever step foot in the doors of this church building or not, that's not our goal. Our goal is to lead people to Christ. And why is that? Jesus tells us to. He tells us to go out, make disciples, baptize them, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded. And he also says that he's going to be with us. So he's not even going to leave us alone whenever we're out there sharing this good news of of Jesus along with people. So whenever we get together on on Sundays, we should be building each other up and training each other and learning from each other and the things that we need to know to serve that purpose of leading people to Christ. So that's what, like, every message I try to build more on that. I also think that Cornerstone, we should be a church that is reaching out to the poor and to the widows. And it's not so that we can say, you know, hey, look at us, look at all the great things that we're doing in our community. The reason that we should be reaching out to the poor and to the widows is because we should have a heart for that. Jesus says that we should have a heart for that. This is actually what he said, and we're going to turn to Matthew 25. If you want to open your Bibles to that, or I think it'll be up on the screens. Matthew 25, we'll start in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all nations, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats he will place on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So there's a couple things that we can look at in that scripture. The one that stands out the most is that very last verse there, where he says that he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That tells me two things. One, Jesus is talking about what here? It's okay to say it in church. He's talking about hell, right? But it also says that he didn't prepare that place for us, right? He prepared that for the devil and his angels. So that tells me that we have to make an active choice in order to end up in this eternal place called hell that Jesus is talking about here, that was prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't prepared for us, but we're choosing to go that direction if we're not choosing him. And the other thing that I learned here is that he's really telling us to take care of the poor. If we're doing these things with the heart toward him, then we're doing these things to him. We're taking care of his people, the people that he loves so much that he died for them. That's cool to me. So we have to be taking care of people at Cornerstone. At Cornerstone, we have a limited budget to help people out, and I believe that this year we have way overextended and gone outside of that budget, but we have helped a lot of families that need it. And in the last couple of years, since I've been the pastor here, I've seen all of us come together at Thanksgiving time and donate all of this money to where we could go out and buy turkey and these meals for people, and then we go and hand those out. I think we took care of like 10 families or more, provided an entire dinner for them, and we were taking care of people. But that's not all. There's a lot of things that are happening in the background that we're able to help these families out in times of need, taking care of people that we need that. And that's the kind of church that I want to be. I don't want to be one that is, you know, bringing in all this money and then we do a lot of things for us. I would rather see as much as we can go out to the community that needs the help. So we need to be showing people Jesus' love. Instead of, you know, we're loving them, but we can always point back to him and say the reason for our love is because of him. He loved us even while we were still sinners. So we want to love you and always point to him. So what are some ways that we can that we can do that. One of the ways that you guys may or may not be aware of is that we can give to the food bank. For many, many, many years, Cornerstone has given to the food bank. We have in the back room back there a jar where you can donate money, and there's a box that you can put non-perishable foods into, canned food and things like that, to take up to the food bank. But whenever I start thinking about this, I actually emailed the food bank to have a clear understanding of this. For every dollar that we give to the food bank, that buys 10 pounds of food for them. So we give them a dollar, they buy 10 pounds of food from the Tarrant County Food Bank, and then they distribute that to the people in need in our community. So we can bring a lot of cans and boxes and rice and things like that and give, and that is awesome to do that. But if we give them the money, then they can buy the specific things that they're needing from that Tarrant County Food Bank, and it's a lot of food. Like, we've carried heavy boxes that are like, you know, 20 and 30 pounds, and then you think that's like $3, you know, it's $3 that we throw into the thing in there. So all the money that we give back there for that goes directly to the food bank to take care of the people in our community that are in need. And that's just one way that we can take care of the community. And we're supporting another ministry in that also for those people. So we also have the benevolence fund that you can give to. And that's the one where someone calls up the church and they say, hey, we have nothing. We have no groceries. My kids are hungry. And we can say, meet us up there at the grocery store. And we go up there and we buy a family groceries. We give them gas for their car to where they can make it to work for a week. So we can give to that fund specifically to help out people. Every year we collect the Christmas shoebox thing, and I forget what that's exactly called. Operation Christmas Child, OCD. Okay, OCC. So we can give to that ministry, and that's just where you take a shoebox and put toys in it. Amber sends out a thing, and people have been awesome with that. Like, we send how many shoeboxes did we get to send last time? A couple dozen. So, and these go to kids in need at Christmas time. So we just give. The other thing that we have that's new this year that you may or may not be aware of, and we're going to start pushing heavy on this, is the teddy bear ministry, which was run by a lady here in town that can no longer do that. And last Christmas time, Karen started talking with her and found out that she wasn't going to be able to do it anymore and was looking for someone to take over that particular ministry. What that is she would tie like 700 teddy bears, or however many she could fit, around a trailer, and then at the end of the Christmas parade, the kids come running up there, and she would give away all of these teddy bears to the kids. They would do it at the gazebo, hand out a bunch there, but she was giving out like 700 teddy bears. Before we started here, we talked about we have a lot. Thurman thinks there's like over 18,000 inside of his house or something. Bit of an exaggeration, but he's got a lot at home. We've got a closet in the church in there that we've loaded up all these teddy bears, so we're going to give away tons of teddy bears to kids that are in need. We also collect winter coats for children. We've done gloves that we hand out at the Christmas parade. So we try to just give and be a church after Jesus' heart that wants to give instead of keeping things for ourselves. We also could use some things like people that can go to nursing homes and sit with people, talk with them, be part of their lives so that they can have someone there. We have some people that they work in nursing homes, but they don't get the time necessarily to sit down and just visit with somebody that may just need a person to come and visit. We don't have anyone that is doing that right now, but it would be awesome if we had someone that they feel like that's something that God is calling them to do. And I'm sure that DeLynn or someone could tell them how to go about getting in touch with the right people to make that happen. You also never know whenever one of these people that you're going and sitting with and visiting may not know the Lord, and you would have the opportunity to lead someone to the Lord at a nursing home. That would be awesome to be part of that, but it's just something that we can reach out as a church to do. There's probably, in just this room, an incredible amount of talent and ways that God has equipped you to be able to serve Him in the kingdom. And I don't know what all those different ways are that you can do things, but if our heart is to reach out to the lost people and to minister to people somehow, we can use those talents to do just that. So if you have like a ministry idea or something that you're wanting to do, then by all means come to me, come to Big Dave, come to Thurman, Travis, talk to us. Tell us what it is that you have, and we will try our very best to support your ministry. We want to be a church that supports the congregation's ministries, whatever they may be, except for ministries that are sinful. Like I read at one time, I don't remember how long ago, about a couple that their ministry, I'm going to put that in quotes, is, I ought to cover the microphone too like this so I can't get it. Their ministry is Swingers for Jesus. Yes, that's exactly what you think that it is. We can't support those types of ministries, but we want to support your ministry. If it is a, if this is something that you're called to and that that you need to do, then the leadership of Cornerstone, we want to support you in godly ministries. So we also want to be a church body that studies God's Word together. So on Sunday mornings, we want you to be at our Bible study that starts at 9:30. We're going through James, the book of James right now. We had a great conversation this morning, I think, right? We got to learn some cool things and just talk together and work through things in the Bible. So we want people there, so much so that the Colt family and the Oliver family, we provide donuts for people to come and eat. And I know that not everybody likes donuts, and there's people like me that can't even have the donuts that we buy, but we have donuts. If there's something else that we can get to provide you with some type of meal that would take some weight off of you in the mornings to where you can make it to Sunday school, that would be awesome, because we all get to get together, study God's Word, and we get to encourage each other, tell each other what's going on in our lives, and we have our prayer time that we talk about different requests, and we lift all these things up to our Heavenly Father that we know hears us, especially whenever there's two or more gathered together. So we love that time of Sunday school, and we want people to be able to be part of that. And we're going to be kicking off before too long our Sunday school classes for the kiddos again, for both youth and for the younger kids. We're going to have classes for them for Sunday school. So it's going to be an awesome time. So we come together so that we can be training, so that we can be learning together, so that we can be encouraged by each other. Excuse me, I'm going to get a drink. I'm not sure that's going to help. Can you turn off my mic for 1 second, Patrick? All right, so when we get together, we can be encouraged. How is it that we can be encouraged? One, in God's Word, we're talking about it. We're learning from it. We're looking at the first church and what their lives were like and what they went through. We get to learn about each other's trials, how we came over those things. One of the things that I tell often is a guy that I used to work with that worked up there at the office. He was our maintenance guy, and he would catch me there early in the mornings, and God had to teach me some things through that. Like, whenever I show up really early, it's usually to get something done because I don't really like... Do like this, Patrick. I don't really like to show up early. I like to get there just before on time, which, you know, Patrick says is 15 minutes early, but, you know, anyway. So I'd get there early to work on something, and then this guy would come in, and he would want to ask me questions about the Bible. Well, I love answering questions about the Bible, and I would pull out my Bible, and we would go over the study notes, and I would tell him about things that he was asking, that he was reading. And then it just got laid in my heart that I needed to get him an apologetic study Bible so that he could have the same notes that I had, so that he could understand better as he was reading what's being taught in the Scriptures. And so finally, you know, I had some money come in, and one of the first things that I want to do is buy Nino this Bible. So I purchased the Bible. It comes in on a Friday, and I write inside of there, you know, Nino to Nino from James, bless you kind of thing. And then I go looking for him. He's not there on that Friday, but the following Monday, I come in and I had the apologetics Bible sitting on my desk at work. And so then I'm like, wow, I'm going to get to go out and find Nino. So I start running around looking for him. And I find him outside. And as I'm walking towards him, he stops whatever it is that he's doing. And he comes walking over there. And I said, hey, man, I got this right here for you. And he just sits there and just starts holding it and just staring at it. And then I'm like, so that's the apologetics Bible, you know, the one that I go get out of my car, and we open it up, and it's got the study notes down here, and I'm showing him, and it'll help you to understand the Bible better. And he just keeps staring at this thing, and then he starts to get emotional, and he's like, James, like, this is so weird to me, because last Friday, 3 days ago, I decided I was done. Like, I don't understand this stuff in here. What is God talking about? I'm not going to stop believing that there's a God, because I can't do that, but I just don't understand His Word. It's not making sense. And then here you come with a Bible. I'm like, wow, that's kind of crazy. He goes, and this is one that can help me understand stuff. Yeah, that was where I was like, so help me out here, because I'm trying to see how everything kind of fits together with this. Is like, you say, no more God, I don't want to study your word, I don't want to learn anything because I can't understand it. God puts it on my heart to buy you this Bible that's going to help you understand this. And then I bring it to you, and so now you get to have the benefit of God saying, hey, it's not time to quit yet. It's not time. Like you can understand this stuff. You need to keep on at it. You need to keep going. And then I said, I get to have my part of just going, wow, like, you choreographed this entire thing here. That's awesome to me. Now, isn't that encouraging? I've told that in the men's Bible study. I've told it to people on the phone. I've talked about it, because that is something cool, and it doesn't stop there. There's other stories that we can talk about that's building up people's lives. An example from this morning, just in Sunday school, was Delyn shared about her granddaughter at the Promise. Last week she got hurt. This week she really just didn't want to go out on stage and be the awesome little actress that she is. But one of the young boys there stopped to pray for her, that she would be at peace, or however he prayed it, I wasn't there, to go out on stage. And then she went out on stage and she had a great time. So she got to hear a prayer from a little boy over her to be able to go out and be on stage and have a good time. And then he gets to look at that and say, man, I prayed to God and he did that. Like, he let her go out there on stage and have a good time. You know, wow. So we got to hear that in Sunday school, in Bible study, just this morning. Those things build us up. They help us to see that God is still alive and working in lives today. So I find it just awesome. I want to be a church that studies God's Word and encourages each other at every opportunity that we get to have. Like, what's going on in your life that you're struggling with? You can talk to your brothers and sisters in Christ, and we can hopefully point you to His Word and say, you know, here's what God says about that, and build us up and encourage each other. So that's the kind of church I want to be, is one that studies God's Word together. Which, speaking of, we've gotten kind of lost during the summertime, but hopefully in September we can kick some things back off. I'm hoping that next Sunday that we can get together for the Bible games, because I really had fun doing that. Just studying whatever we've read in the last month in the chronological plan and talking about that. And it's not like you have to memorize so much stuff, because we make the games just fun for everybody. And if you didn't get a chance to read it, then you get to hear the stories and what they meant and things like that. So it's a fun time to get together and study God's Word on those Sunday nights. And then the last thing is a church body that like gathers together, and not just here at the church service. I don't know how many times we've had our first Sunday and we go out there and we have a great meal together and we all get to sit around and share, and friendships are kindled there. People are able to start hanging out outside of the church body and have a good time. I want us to be a church that don't just gather here at the church, but that we're interacting in each other's lives and being part of that as much as we possibly can. We have events here at the church that are just to hang out and have fun as a body of believers, where like our September 18th thing that is coming up, the Back to School Burger Bash. That thing is fun to me for the two reasons I said earlier. Probably, I really like hamburgers. Like, that's my favorite thing in the world to have. Over steaks or like anything, I will take a hamburger. Secondly, is just the fun, getting to see the kids out there jumping on the bouncy house with the water. We have a smaller bouncy house that Cheeto can bring up for that thing. We get to eat hamburgers, and we also get to play horseshoes, and we had all these different games at the last one that were a lot of fun, and hamburgers. So it's a great time, y'all. We got to be at these things. But it's also a place or an event that you can invite your friends and family to that may not be part of the church crowd that may have been hurt by a church at some time in the past, may have never been to church. It's just a light event where they just get to come out and see us hanging out, loving them, providing a meal, having games for their kids. And then this next one, I'm going to try to take like 5 or 10 minutes and just share a little bit about our church before we start eating for the people that we invite out here, so that they can know the things that we're trying to do here at Cornerstone that make us different. For years, Randy Mack used to say, you know, our motto at Cornerstone is, we're different. You know, we do different things. We have fun. We eat at Dairy Queen every Wednesday evening at a certain time. We haven't done that in a long time, but that's what they did. Instead of meeting at the church, they would go and meet down at Dairy Queen. So we're different. We want to be a different church. We want to be a church that's after Jesus' heart and doing the things that we're supposed to be doing. We want to enjoy each other's company. We want to just really, really, really love being together and love the Lord together and love our community the way that the Bible tells us that we're to love God and that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's my vision for Cornerstone. So whenever we have this event, try to invite a family that you know. Whether they're going to make it or not, I'm going to be inviting anybody that I can out here to that event. We've had people come to these things and then they continue to come to Cornerstone, which is great, but again, it's our goal is just to love people. It's not to get them into these doors. We want to love people and we want to lead people to Christ and to be conformed into His image. The other thing that we may have at this event is a little bit of live music. I am trying. How many of you guys were here whenever Joe and Holly Reagan came and led worship last year? Yeah, it's awesome, right? I'm trying to get them to come out and do some of that. Maybe get BJ, who my brother says he's going to be here next week and he'll lead worship. He keeps putting it out further and further. But hopefully next week he's going to make it. And I'm going to try to get him to come back on September 18th so we can have some live music. Maybe we can even have some karaoke because I know that Thurman's wanting to do a couple songs. So we may do some karaoke. We want to have fun, right? Make this thing fun. So that's what I want to do. We want to see Cornerstone, the church body, the body of believers, the people grow, but it's not so we can say, hey, look at us. We have X number of people coming out there every Sunday. It's so awesome that our church is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Like that's not our reason for wanting to grow. It's because the more that we grow, the more that we're going to see the spiritual gifts open up that God gives to people that are going to be available to us as a church body to reach the lost. That's our goal, is serving Jesus, reaching the lost. And everyone has spiritual gifts, and you may not know exactly what your spiritual gift is. Maybe that's part of this year and being more devoted to Him is discovering what that spiritual gift is. People have gifts of evangelism, and it's awesome to see one that is truly their gift. Someone is gifted with leading worship. It's awesome when that's like someone's gift. So it's neat to see that. That's what we want to grow. We want to grow each other spiritually by being encouraged and being here and growing in God's Word. So with all of these things said, who here wants to be part of a church body that's serious about their relationship with Jesus and getting hard questions answered? I'm somebody that does. Who of you guys wants to be part of a church that's serious about loving each other and also the community that we're part of? Like, I'm wanting to be part of that kind of a church. Who wants to be part of a church that's serious about loving each other and the community? Again, yeah, that was in there twice. So who wants to be part of a church that teaches the Bible's authority on our lives? Like, that's me, right? I want to be part of that kind of a church that really loves God's Word and teaches that this is authoritative in our lives and not just something that we, you know, kind of go over, that this is God's Word, that this is His story, that this is what He wants us to know and how He wants us to act because of His love for us and our love for Him. And lastly, to drill this in, who wants to be part of a church that leads people to Christ and teaches them to be conformed into His image and have fun doing it? I've got both hands up on that one. That's the kind of church that I would like to see Cornerstone be, and I hope that you guys enjoy being part of that kind of church. To familiarize those of you that may or may not know, because I know there's some that have been here for a while that may not know this part of it, is that Well, I'm the pastor. That part's obvious because I'm up here talking every week. But we also have three other church leaders, two of which are here today. We have Big Dave Culp right there. He loves you guys as much as I do. And he loves this church body. And that's why he gets donuts on Sundays. We have Thurman back there that's part of the leadership team. He loves you guys. He wants to be one of the ones that gets donuts, but he lives in Walnut Springs. And he loves hamburgers too, just not as much as me. And we also have Travis, who I don't think was able to make it today. So these guys love this church body, and you can go to them or me with anything on your mind, and we want to be here for you. That's the kind of leadership team that we want to have at Cornerstone, is a leadership team that loves this church body, that wants to share Jesus with this community, that will put all of our resources together that we have to build us up and be a training ground to reach the lost, because that's what we want Cornerstone to be. Let's pray. And dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you ever grateful for this body of believers that you have put here at Cornerstone. Father, we thank you that we have this awesome building and all the amenities that you've given us charge with, that we have the financing that we need to pay our bills here at Cornerstone, to take care of the things that we have. God, I want to thank you for this community that you've put us in. I want you to help each and every one of us to love you so much, and to love the people, our neighbors in this community, so much that we make sure that we do everything we can to stand in their way as they're trying to walk away from you, that you would just and put it on our hearts to lead people to your Son, to understand that even while we're sinners, that your grace and your mercy covers everything. God, that you just want us to trust that your Son is who he says he is, that he loves us so much, and God, that we can be adopted into your family. We thank you for that. We thank you for providing a way that even though we continually make mistakes, God, that you sent Jesus and that he went to the cross, that he died to pay the wages of our sin, that he stands before you and that he says, Father, I know these people. This is my bride. I'm paying the price for their sins, and that we're covered by his blood. Father, I thank you for every way that you touch our lives. I thank you for every single person that's here today. God, we love you. God, help us to always be seeking you and what you would have us be as a church family. Lay it on all of our hearts that we are on a mission together for you. God, we want to honor you with every event, with everything that we do here at Cornerstone. We want to honor you. That's what this is all about, is your Son. Lord, this week, I just ask you to show us how real you are. Just put something out in front of us this week that just lets us see how real you are, that we see your love for every one of us. God, we know that you love us. We see that every single day. We're so thankful for your love. As we walk out of these doors here today, God, I would just ask that you make us bold, that you make us courageous, that you just help us to be a light in this dark world. God, things in this world look really bleak right now. But your church can be a light on a hill, pointing people toward you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being such a good, good Father. You are an awesome God. We ask for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.